The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Birds 365, a Wednesday edition here, joined now by Brandon Lee Gouton, BLG from Bleeding Green Nation. BLG, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Thanks for having me, guys.
Good to see you, BLG. I don't want to start with Saquon. We were on a Saquon. I feel like do that to you because you're one of the only open-minded. So we'll talk about the play, the Jalen Hurts play, when they were not on the same page. But I don't want to start there. I've been saying this. I don't know why I got on this tangent, but Ed Kratz and I do our top 25 Eagles, just pure football players every year. Regardless of position. So it's not impact. It would always be the quarterback. It would always. And number one for us was AJ Brown unanimously. I think that's pretty clear. But I think at this time next year, it might be Jalen Carter. Is that too much or are you? That guy's unbelievable, ELG.
Yeah. I was talking to our good friend, Shil Kapati, about this. And I think he put it well in that, like, there's no kind of level for Jalen Carter that I think is too high to ascribe to him right now and his potential. And that might seem like hyperbole, but I don't think it is. I honestly think he's kind of being under discussed relative to when you think about this Eagles 2024 outlook. We're always talking about Saquon or Jalen Hurts or Nick Sirianni or Kellen Moore or Vic Fangio. Those are five names I think I just listed before we even get to Jalen Carter, who could be incredibly dominant this year after he showed signs of that as a rookie last year. Like an Aaron Donald-like pace before the defense fell off, looked dominant in practice yesterday. Yeah, he's amazing.
BLG, let me ask you about Quinyon Mitchell. He's made a lot of headlines so far in camp. What have you seen from the rookie first-round draft pick? A lot of talk about his one-on-ones with A.J. Brown. What have you seen from Quinyon Mitchell at camp so far?
Yeah, Quinyon had his best day on Tuesday. That's an encouraging sign. We haven't seen him really, you know, on the outside so much with the first team yet, but I think they're clearly trying to find a role for him if he doesn't end up starting out there, which he could, on the inside, where, you know, we've seen him line up yesterday in the slot. He's obviously been in there in dime packages as well. So my thing with Quinyon is that I think he's coming along nicely. I think even, again, if he doesn't win that outside starting cornerback job, he's going to be on the field in some capacity playing just because the talent is there and he was their first-round pick. They want to see him out there. But very encouraging for him to go up against A.J. Brown. And not only, obviously, have the results of the pass breakup or you know, tight defense, and then the one rep where Jalen Hurts doesn't even throw the ball, which is you just don't even see that in one-on-one where the quarterback won't even attempt to throw. but also the swagger afterwards. I think, you know, you want to see that in your cornerbacks. And Quinyon's a soft-spoken guy, but I think he seems to be showing he has that mentality of a cornerback, and I think that's an encouraging sign.
Yeah, that was a great story in the spring, BLG, when, you know, he was so quiet. He didn't say anything. AJ was telling the story. And then all of a sudden he perked up and said, trash rap, just out of nowhere. And AJ's like, what? But I don't think it's by accident that the Eagles are having Quinyon match up with AJ in one-on-ones, back-to-back days. I think, boy, they're throwing a lot at him, and he doesn't seem overwhelmed at all. That's my most positive takeaway with Quinyon Mitchell. As you mentioned, he's played left corner, right corner, nickel, dime. He's doing one-on-ones with A.J. Brown, and he seems ho-hum. got a lot of, that's what you want. That's exactly what you want from your cornerbacks, because you're going to get beat in this league. And if you don't have confidence, that's when guys start going down a bad road. I'd be stunned if he's not a starter against the Green Bay Packers in Brazil, BLG.
You think on the outside, or what do you think exactly?
I think right now it's going to be the slot, depending, okay. Because I think Cooper's been pushed back a little bit.
Cooper's right.
Team. So, you know, hopefully he gets back in the 3 week span that was sort of intimated. But I think that pushes back Cooper maybe week three, week four, mm-hmm. week five. And all of a sudden, you know, it'll probably be Ringo or Rogers outside, one of those two guys, Quinyon Mitchell in the slot, and obviously Slay. That's kind of my thought process on week one. Week five, week six, I think it might be Mitchell inside, Cooper, Mitchell outside, Cooper mm-hmm. inside with Slay. I think that's where they want to go, at least. Is that your thought?
I think you're hitting on the fact that I think, like, it's not as simple as, oh, this person won the cornerback battle coming out of training camp, and that's who they're going to stick with definitely the whole year. I think that that's a situation that's going to be fluid. And yeah, maybe someone like Isaiah Rogers can, I think I'm still leaning towards him right away, but then, you know, I think he could be usurped, you know, if the young guys, or if he doesn't play, obviously continue to play and prove he deserves to be out there. I think they're not going to hesitate to get those young guys involved if they won't be already. So yeah, I think that's pretty reasonable. Again, I just think Quinyon Mitchell is going to have some kind of role on this team. I think it's more of just figuring out exactly what it is.
Bill G, let me ask you about QB1, Jalen Hurts coming off an OTA. What that wasn't very rave reviews. What have you seen so far from Jalen Hurts here in training camp? You've obviously been down there for the first 5 days of practice. What have you seen from Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, overall encouraged and certainly looking a lot better than we saw him back in the spring practices. Thought the first 2 days really stood out. Really liked how comfortable he looked. The Eagles using a lot of tempo, pre-snap motion. I thought he was really efficient. Ball was not really hitting the ground. For the most part in training camp, he has not put the ball in harm's way. I think that's been really important. He did have a turnover-worthy throw on Tuesday. Almost got picked up.
Kaylee's got to come up with that, BLG.
Yeah. Can't throw right to Kelee Ringo and get away with that. Or apparently you can if Kelee's not going to catch it. So yeah, tough job by Kelee there. But you know, that throw aside, has not really put the ball in harm's way at all. I think he's been really good with his decision making, getting the ball out quick at times. The past couple of days, a little bit slower. Offensive line hasn't really helped him out with the defensive line kind of getting a lot of pressure. But again, overall, big picture, I'm feeling more encouraged than not about Jalen Hurts.
Are you concerned at all through bye practices? There hasn't been one interception. I mean, because remember, that's not only Jalen Hurts. That's Kenny Pickett. That's Tanner McKee. Mekhi Gardner almost had an interception on the last play in developmental, but wasn't able to keep it in bounds. You usually see, guys are trying things. They're maybe attempting throws that they wouldn't do in a regular season game. This secondary, at least early on, and we've already seen it. We've seen the Vic Fangio scheme, BLG, for 3 years now. They might be very passive. They're constantly lining up too high with too high safeties. Any concern with that at all?
I didn't even think about how none of the quarterbacks have thrown any, and especially because, like, last year didn't take long, I think, for Marcus Mariota to throw a bunch of them in practice settings. That stands out, especially as the contrast to the spring where there was a ton. There was a ton of interceptions and defensive backs just making plays on the ball. I think that's a fair point. Yeah, we haven't seen defensive backs, I think, get their hands on the ball quite as much. I think back to last year, you know, Reed Blankenship, I thought, was having a much more active training camp. Not that he's been bad this year, but he just was so much more active last year by contrast. And, you know, I didn't really think about that till now. So maybe there's something to that, or maybe.
Well, my concern is he's lining up where we park on every play. That's where Reed Blankenship starts. So it's tough to get involved if you're in the parking lot. And that's where the safeties are lining up, basically. That's my concern, especially when you have CJ, because CJ's a playmaker. And by the way, if CJ isn't making plays, you're going to probably hear some chirping too. That might be a concern down the road.
Yeah, the CJ DJ Vic Fangio fit, given what happened, you know, and what we heard from Miami, is going to be, that's a pretty interesting one, I think.
Yeah, yeah. He's great, by the way. They had a ton of red zone. First time, by the way. That was weird, too. We went through four practices, Brandon. No red zone work. Mm-hmm. And then we got a boatload of it. Yesterday's practice. Some good for the offense, some bad. I thought it was pretty much a stalemate, I think, overall. A couple things stood out. One, that Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley play, which I want you to address if you saw it and paid attention to it. And then there was a lot of Kenny Gainwell mulligan. Mm. Is that going to upset people? Is that a thing, or is that one day and you're not too worried about it?
I mean, Nick Sirianni was wearing a Kenny Gainwell t-shirt on Monday, right? So can't tell me it's nothing. The Saquon play, I don't know what your read on it, John. Looked to me just like was not on the same page. Threw wide of him. And Saquon was like looking at him after that miss, kind of being like, hey, like what happened there? And shame too, because he was wide open. So you know, I guess.
But Jalen sort of ran the route of how he wanted to run it afterwards.
Okay, like he stayed on the field.
And he was saying, no, you should be here. Could have been the other, could have been Jalen on the wrong page, but either way, you know, he looked on the same page with Kenny. Kenny was making life hell for N'Kobe Dean in coverage.
I will say, like, I think overall the crisp, like how crisp the Eagles have been stands out to me relative to last year when I thought it was sloppier. And I think that's not just an accident. I think, to Nick Sirianni's credit, I will give Nick Sirianni credit here and say, I think, you know, he is feeling the pressure. And Paris Campbell's comments reflected this too when he was talking about how the intensity kind of really was starting to ramp up back all the way back in OTAs. And it wasn't like they eased into it like he had been elsewhere before in his career. So Giants, Colts. I think there's something to that. And I think, you know, again, other than some few mistakes that are bound to happen, I think they've been overall pretty sharp.
BLG, let's stay on the offensive side of the ball there and talk about wide receiver three. You just brought up Paris Campbell. Are you leaning any one way or the other on who might win that job? It's obviously a big drop off after AJ and Devontae. And with Kellen Moore, who's obviously going to move these wide receivers around, I think that's a more important position this year than it has been in years past. What do you think of that position, and is any one player emerging at that spot for you?
Yeah, I don't think anyone is truly running away with that job. I mean, we've seen John Ross get a fair share of first-team reps here, but I don't think he's done a whole lot with them. Had a good practice, I think it was, over the weekend, Monday. I mean, Paris Campbell has caught, I think, pretty much everything that's been thrown his way, but hasn't really done a lot in the way of flash. Britton Covey has a ton of catches here. Johnny Wilson's mixing in at the first team. Again, hasn't really seen him do a lot in team drills as much as he's been looking good in one-on-one. And, you know, I kind of wonder if it just could be something of like a committee approach there at wide receiver three, depending on where they are down in distance, but depending where they are on the field. I think there could kind of be like a wide receiver three by committee, at least as opposed to in the past where, you know, Quez Watkins was just that guy.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think they'll give Britton a chance? Because other than AJ and Devontae, I think no Eagles receiver generates more consistent separation than Britton Covey. Now he's playing in the slot, mainly. You know, he's not an outside guy. And Kellen Moore mentioned, you know, well, he's going to move around Devontae and AJ. So if Devontae's in the slot, that would mean Britton Covey's got to play outside, which is probably not going to work out. So do you think they'll give him a legitimate shot to even piecemeal it like you were describing?
I do. I think he's kind of like worked his way into that where I think that's, you know, and that was something he talked about, I think, towards the end of last year. Like, that's the next evolution of Britton Covey, like wanting to kind of finally get that offensive role, especially now that he's proven his worth as a punt returner and one of the best ones in the league. And you even saw the Eagles kind of throw him a bone a little bit last year where later in the season after he had, you know, a bunch of good returns, they gave him like one of his first ever offensive touch. So I think there could be something more to that and kind of building that into this offseason. Not that he's going to be a feature player, but I do buy that he could have an offensive role. He had a really good catch from Kenny Pickett over the weekend, I believe it was. I think he...
Yeah, that was a good throw. That might have been Kenny's best throw.
Great throw. Tough catch. Yeah. I think Britton Covey belongs as a role player in this offense.
Good. We'll see what he's able to do. BLG, one player I want to ask you about is N'Kobe Dean on the defensive side of the football. A lot of Zach Bond, a lot of Devin White. I mean, I know they're rotating. I've talked to John a lot about how much Vic is rotating players through, but specifically N'Kobe Dean, what have you seen from him in camp? Does it look like he's going to have a bigger role in this team than he has in years past?
Yeah, I think it's noteworthy that, you know, when you look at the cornerbacks, the first team defense each day, the first 11-on-11 series, it's been different. I mean, you look at Isaiah Rodgers the first day, then 3 days of Keeley, then back to Isaiah Rodgers on day five. You know, by contrast, the Eagles are not rotating the first team linebackers each day. Mm-hmm. It's consistently been Zach Bond and Devin White. So that kind of stands out to me. Not to say N'Kobe Dean won't have a role, but I don't know, you know, just how keen they are still on him being this full-time starter who's going to play like all the snaps, their top linebacker by any means. So I still only really notice N'Kobe Dean the most when I feel like he's kind of trailing in coverage and has not stood out to me out that way. I think, you know, if you can sell me on, he's been better, you know, rushing the passer or defending the run. But yeah, I'm not buying N'Kobe Dean in coverage by any means still.
No, Kenny had his way, as I kind of mentioned, in red zone work, and it was usually N'Kobe in coverage trailing, as BLG said. Why is Nick Gates here? What is going on? Are you a little bit concerned with this interior offensive line? Because that defensive front the past 2 days, I mean, they've been relentless, number one, on the quarterback. And that's sort of been – Jalen was lights out for the first 3 days. It hasn't been as good. But that's because of the pass rush. It's just all over him. You've had some injury issues. Landon Dickerson wasn't able to finish practice. I thought it was a positive sign. He had his helmet. He walked back out and watched it at least for a while. He's been dealing with, he tweaked his knee. I don't know if you saw that on early in practice. What day are we? I don't even know. Monday, he tweaked his knee early, but managed to go throughout the practice. He had the lacerated toe as well. Tyler Steen's out. They already have Matt Hennessy and Matt Sharping. How many interior just serviceable guys do you need? What did it say to you? What the first thing when you saw, Eagles signed Nick, why? What was your first thought?
Yeah, I mean, I'm intrigued to see where he lines up, you know, to start. You know, obviously some of the first team shifting has impacted the second team. Maybe they don't love what they've seen out of Dylan McMahon, you know, and want Nick Gates to be that second team center in there. I saw Matt Hennessy have a bad rep in team drills that where he just got beat instantly. I forget who it was by. Maybe they don't necessarily love what they've seen out of Hennessy. Obviously they haven't like jumped at the chance to put him in the starting lineup when there's been an opportunity to fill a spot, whether that's for Dickerson or Steen or whatever. Maybe like you said, I'm sure some of it is they kind of just want another body there after having all these injuries. And hard to ever complain about adding a, you know, an experienced offensive lineman with a 90-man roster spot. Why not? Why not give it a shot?
Well, they do have 75 corners, so unfortunately, yes. Mario Goodrich was the one to go. I just thought it was interesting because I'm like, well, I mean, isn't there some redundancy? But you're right, Hennessy hasn't stood out. Sharping, it was interesting, I think. He was taking right tackle reps at one point, which he's never played there. And maybe they just need, they did this last year with Josh Andrews. Remember, they couldn't get a decent backup snapper.
Yeah.
And Marcus Mariota was playing shortstop basically the entire camp. So maybe it's just about getting better reps. Because if guys are just exploding off the line, you're ruining reps.
Yeah.
So maybe it's as simple as that. You don't think he's relevant to making this team, do you?
Barring injury, no. I would think not, and especially because if he's out on the market here, you know, late July, it feels like a guy that if you really wanted to keep around, you could keep him around your practice squad or something.
That's true too. Good point. You've talked me off the ledge. I was a little. I'm like, why? Why is this? And maybe, you know, I went to a dark place thinking maybe Landon's injuries more difficult than they thought, or Tyler Steen's ankle is going to be longer than they perceived. But then I thought about Josh Andrews and said maybe they just want some good second team reps. And hopefully that's the case as a whole. You know, somebody asked this question in the chat. I thought it was a good one, so I'm going to ask it to you, BLG. Best positional group through these 5 days, not just the starters, because then it's AJ and Devontae, but when you count the reserves, first, second, third team reps, I guess deepest position on this team so far. Mm.
I think in terms of like best that we've seen in camp, and maybe this is recency bias, but I really like what I've seen out of the defensive line.
Yes, that's where I went.
Yeah. I mean, they've been dominating the past 2 days, especially. Right. Again, they've been dominating practice. Like, I think there's just points where offense can't even get into what they want to do because the defense is just wrecking stuff out there.
Yeah. And it's even guys, lower guy, you've seen good snaps from Marlon T. You've seen good snaps from Moro Ojomo at times. You've seen even PJ.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from JELD-WEN. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all JELD-WEN windows today. View our entire selection of JELD-WEN windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at
Mustafer flash a little bit. So I think from the depth perspective, now the one guy who's kind of been invisible, not bad. I haven't seen a lot from Bryce Hop. Yep. And I'm very high on him. I've been very high. I probably said it to you on the show. I'm not panicking, but I haven't seen a lot from Bryce Hop. Any concern there yet?
I would say no, because, you know, he's going up against two pretty good tackles, and I think that's a factor. Now, of course, you know, you're going to want him to beat good tackles in the real games. But I also think back to, like, I don't think, and I'm, you know, I'm probably one of the highest people on Hassan Reddick, and I don't think he was ever necessarily like a dominant practice player. Not that he didn't have his moments, but I think early on too, it wasn't like the Eagles signed Hassan Reddick and day one, he was just dominating out there in the practice setting. So I'm willing to give Bryce Huff a little bit of grace here, those things considered. However, you know, it would be nice to see a flash here and there. That would be encouraging and would and make me feel good about it. But I am by no means ready to panic about that.
BLG, I want to zoom out a little bit, and I want to let you take me down whatever path you're thinking. Where are you 5 days into camp here? What thing are you watching most, whether it's a player, a storyline, a position battle? What's got your interest that you're watching the most after 5 days of training camp?
Well, I think going back to Hurts, I mean, I think what made the first few days really encouraging was like not just only having a good day, but like the ability to stack those good days, you know, to pull the coach speak into it. Like, I think that's really important. The consistency of it. Anyone can have like a good day and then they have a bad day the next day. And like the inconsistency, I think it's, it says a lot more if you're able to kind of stack those days like Jalen did at the beginning of camp more so. And intrigued here to see, you know, how he adjusts, because I think the defense probably took it on them to have some more pride too, after, you know, the offense was getting the better of them early on, to kind of want to step up and show that, you know, okay, we're here too. And I think it'll be interesting to see, okay, can Jalen kind of counter the counter and get back to looking sharper like he did earlier in camp?
Yeah, and Nick kind of mentioned there's ebbs and flows to it when he was talking about training camp as a whole, and that's certainly the case. If there was one player, I don't want to say standout, but one guy that let's use the term underrated, that has consistently shown up, but maybe doesn't get the hype that Quinyon Mitchell as a first round pick gets, or Jalen Carter as a potential future superstar. I keep landing on the defensive front, and for me, that's Milton Williams. Anybody like that for you?
I do agree with the Milton Williams pick. I believe he had a sack on early. I'm also forgetting the days here, and like day three or day four.
Yeah, it all runs together.
Tipped past the line of scrimmage yesterday. I definitely think Milton has been looking good, and you know, he's been active, I would say. I guess I have to give credit here to Will Shipley, you know, who's been active.
He
kind of, and as we talked about in the show here, back in OTAs, he had a little bit of a rough start this first couple days. John, you put it as he was fighting the ball. He very much was. And ever since then, he had that one OTA or mini camp practice where he kind of like it clicked for him. And I think he's carried that momentum over in camp here, where he just looks really natural catching the football. He was getting some first team red zone reps yesterday, you know, so it wasn't just like Saquon was out, like, you know, Saquon was available. So, you know, I think that's a good sign. I think he's going to have some kind of factor into this offense.
Yeah. That wheel route, BLG, he high pointed it almost.
Yes. Yep.
Which is really rare for a running back to go up and get the ball like that. I was really impressed with Will Shipley. I'm going to end it with some Saquon Barkley hate at Brandon Galton. People think by the way, is this hate, BLG? I said he's going to get 1,300 yards and 300 or 400 more receiving. 1,700 total, and that's hating, evidently. But
it's better than DeAndre Swift last year.
Exactly. At Brandon Galton, bleedinggreennation.com. Read him there. Listen to him. He's all over the place. He's good enough to give us time. You mentioned you were on with Shiel. Our buddies at PHLY. So BLG's all over the place, doing a great job in training camp. Is Saquon the third best receiving back on this team? just from catching the football perspective. Like, to me, there's no question he's number two. But has Will Shipley, is he a more natural pass catcher?
I think if you were going to frame it as like, if I, you know, I can only pick one of these running backs to catch a ball downfield, maybe, and my life is on the line, I think I might have to go Will Shipley, which is how natural he looks. I don't know that. I think to a bigger point on Saquon, and, you know, it's training camp, and I'm sure they're not trying to really exhaust him and all the things they want to do with him.
No, that's kind of wise, setting. By the way. Yeah,
sure. Yeah. And there's no criticism here of how they're handling him, but it's kind of what I said back in the spring, where like, I'm not seeing like, oh my gosh, this is like breathtaking, amazing, popping off the screen. This is, you know, why the Eagles signed Saquon. I haven't seen that moment yet. It could come. It could easily be on the way. Just haven't seen it yet.
We'll see how it all plays out. BLG, thanks for joining the show, man. A lot of good insight from you. I've been down there at practice. Enjoy the practice tomorrow, a live one, the open practice, first one, only one at the link. BLG, we appreciate you being here. Thanks, man.
See you guys.
Thanks, bud.
There's BLG joining us on Birds 365. Good stuff from BLG. Johnny Mack, the Saquon Barkley truthers are out in the chat right now. They are not happy.
Oh, I know. I know. He gets the most cheers. You think about it. Well, I don't want to say more than the quarterback.
I know, but John, in 45 minutes, you dropped him from the second best pass catcher in the backfield to the third.
I said Izzy, and you just heard Brandon.
I know.
His head.
It's not just you.
If you want somebody to catch the football down the field, and your life depends on it, I'm putting him third. That's all I'm saying. But here's the positive note. They're all three are above average catching the football. So Kenny's really, really, really good catching the football. Will, like he had some troubles early, but I think he was nervous. I think it was one of those things as a rookie player getting. And since things have slowed down for him a little bit, he's settled down and gotten to show his abilities a little bit more. He's a natural pass catcher. Like I said, you rarely see running backs high point the football. That's a rare, and that's what he did. It's not that he's bad. When you compare him to normal running backs like Kendall Milton or Lou Nichols or Ty Davis. Ty Davis Price has 4 drops over the past 2 days.
Yeah.
He can't catch a cold. He can't catch spiking COVID. So I'm not saying I'm saying it's more of a, I know people aren't going to say it, but it's more a positive to just how good Kenny and Will have been catching the football.
We'll see how it all plays out this year. I got high expectations for the offense, but we'll see how they use Saquon Barkley and then whether Johnny Mack turns out to be right about Saquon or not. Anyway, by the way, I know everybody thinks he's a hater. 1,700 all-purpose yards is a pretty damn good season.
And by the way, because that's another thing I think people are not understanding. Because you can catch a football better does not mean that Kenny Gainwell or Will Shipley are better players than Saquon Barkley. Let me make that clear. They are not. They just catch the football better. That's it. They don't run as better. They don't block as they're not better football players. I'm just saying they catch the football more naturally. They're better. That's it. Even after what you do with it when you do catch it. I'm saying just the pure mechanics of catching a football, they're better at that aspect.
I mean, I see what you're saying. I want to launch some sort of a promotion here on Birds 365. And I want you to give me your opinion. I want all of our chatters to give me their opinion as well. We need to do some sort of a Saquon Barkley jersey giveaway or something. Maybe it's every time Saquon has more than what's a good number in a game? 150 yards, 100.
Oh, that's a lot. That's a lot.
100 yards. I mean, if I do 100 yards, I'm going to be giving away a jersey every week. But if it's every time, maybe 125. Every time he surpasses that number, if he does 125.
Well, I would say 125 because 1,700, which is my prediction, and everybody's under it over 17 games is 100 a game. So that's 100 all-purpose yarded. So if you're at 125 or 130, that's a really big game in the modern NFL for a running back.
Big picking. Total yards. Yep. So, I might set that up. Let me. I got to talk to the powers that be. Maybe if I'd like to launch this because I think it would be a good way to tie our show into what happens in the games and give everybody something to look forward to. If you're a channel member, so we have many of channel members. If you are a channel member and Saquon Barkley eclipses 125 yard all-purpose yards in a game, we will give away a Saquon Barkley jersey and including the playoffs. So that means it could be up to 20 Saquon jerseys this year. And I'd like to give it only to our channel members. So if you want to get involved in that, Let's do that. Twiz is saying 17 giveaways. We'll see. I mean, he's got to eclipse the 125, but if he does,
if he eclipses 125 for 17 games.
Oh boy, that's a hell of a season, John.
He's having a
that's the point though. You'll be eating your words a little bit at least if he does that. So I think it's a way for the Saquon truthers to kind of, you know, either get back at you or get their revenge in a way on you. Maybe one of them will win a jersey. I'll figure out how to give them out, but that would be pretty
fun. Yeah, I will freely admit if you got to give out 17, I will freely admit I'm wrong.
Yeah.
More than 2,100 all-purpose yards if he kept that up for 17 games. So that would be a very, very successful season.
That would be pretty. Maybe what I'll do is I'll have John pick the winner. So if you mess with John enough, maybe you'll just get the winner. Maybe he'll just pick you as the winner. Let's go to our two super chats here. I'm going to need more of these guys. If I'm giving away 20 Saquon jerseys, holy moly, that's going to cost us a pretty penny. James Carver says, "Oh, we're gonna give Will an excuse of rookie on drops, but no, not for Anais."
Come on, Jason,
what? Best player. SMH.
Yo, let me just say this about James. You should be thrilled that you're not at practice. It has not gone well for your guy. The difference is Will started poorly and has gotten progressively better, and now he's high-pointing the football. Anais has not gotten progressively better. He just had a drop earlier this week. Not getting a ton of reps, was with the third group on kickoff returns, which should be somewhere where it could be impactful. He hasn't been good. Now, doesn't mean he can't right the ship, but no pun intended, Will Shipley's kind of righted the ship from his slow start. Anais has not yet done that.
James Carver, your boy's got to step up, man, or else you're the president of a not a very good fan club. I'll just say that. So let's hope Anais can turn it around a little bit. Carver also checks him in another super chat. Have J-Mac sign the Saquon
jersey. I don't think people want that.
I don't know. Maybe they would, John. It's an ode to Birds 365 and their continued support of the show.
They want to get Saquon to. But I'd get the Jim Brown throwback if you're a fan of football. I don't think he's going to be Jim Brown. Just a hunch.
We'll see how it goes. I will do the giveaway, though. Prince says we should do one for Jalen 4K Club on Sills. That's a good idea as well. Sills doesn't think Hurts is going to have 4,000 passing yards. He hasn't yet in his career. So maybe we'll launch some sort of giveaway.
By the way, if you know, you have all, again, this is to Nick's point. If the quarterback's thrown for 4,000 yards, he better get the ball to the receivers. And if the receivers are getting the ball, as they should be, you know, everybody wants AJ at 1,500. Everybody wants Devontae over 1,000 again. Everybody wants Dallas Goedert to step up and have that 1,000 yard year. Where are these 2,100 all-purpose yards coming from with Saquon? There's one football, people. One football.
Let's see. Let me do some real quick math, John, on the fly here. Let's say Saquon has, well, if he has 17 for the sake of the thing, 125 times 17 is what?
Over 2,100.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, 21-25. That would be a pretty damn good season. So we'll see how many jerseys we end up giving away. James Carver, another super chat. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. All the super chats are much appreciated. All the financial support of the channel goes a long way. So thank you guys. James says, I'm kidding. I'm anointed to abdicate my Anais Smith prez, but J-Mac can't pick winners or I will never win. We'll come up with a way to pick winners, but I will do channel members. That's what I want to do. You at least got to be a member on the channel to get it.
Very objective. I don't care. I can pick the winner. I'm very objective.
So yeah, Johnny Mac isn't a very objective, smart, logical man. So I would have no worries about that. Anyway, appreciate you all being here. Another good show today. Good viewership. Did we get through 100 likes? We did. 102 likes. Thank you guys for the likes on the show today. We appreciate it. Fly Parks, Quan Pugh, who had the good comment earlier in the show. Quan, we appreciate you, brother. James Jones, our resident Commander fan. James, I'll make a thing for you too, where if your man Jaden Daniels can do anything this year, maybe I'll buy you a Jaden Daniels jersey, or maybe you already got one.
I'm so bogged down with the Eagles, but I'm a big Jaden Daniels guy.
I am too, but we'll see what he's able to do. I mean, I've heard some pretty crazy expectations for the Washington Commanders coming into the year. They haven't won a playoff game, John, in 19 years.
Yeah, well, you know, Daniel Snyder, they've been a disaster. So I did see a clip of people, Commanders fans, which is good. They were lining up for training camp, which, you know, so they're excited. They should be. I mean, just getting that albatross off their head, that's a big, Daniel Snyder was a disaster. And now they have at least some hope. So that's a good thing for the Washington fans.
We'll see how it goes down there. You're giving James Jones a lot of hope on the way out here, Johnny.
Well, you know, hey, they deserve some. Giants are probably the worst. Not probably.
Giants stink.
I mean, on paper, they look just like a disaster.
Yeah, Daniel Jones. I mean, it's just practice footage, but good Lord, some of the footage coming out on Daniel Jones does not look good.
Well, you see footage and some of the rookie quarterbacks as well. I've seen some bad footage and people overrate practice footage or one rep, but that does, to bring it back to the Eagles, to end on the Eagles, it is rare when you get through five training camp practices with no interceptions. Again, we're talking about more than Jalen Hurts. It's Tanner McKee as well and Kenny Pickett as well. So,
is it a credit to the quarterbacks or is it a knock on the defense?
Yeah, I think the coverage has been very, very soft. As I said,
is that a product of the defense, though, John? Isn't that a product of kind of the way Vic Fangio likes to play?
It is, and we've seen it in the past, and people have been upset by it. So they better be upset by it, even with Vic Fangio's name on it. But it's been more, I would say, softer, I would say. Now, maybe that's the young corners. Maybe he's trying to protect him. Maybe he's trying to protect the linebackers. A lot of things factor into it. But again, on the vast majority of plays, now yesterday was a little bit different because they were in the red zone. But when they're got the full field sessions going on, Reed Blankenship and CJ Gardner-Johnson, 90%+ of the time, are lined up in split safety looks in another county. And that's why you've seen a lot of underneath throws and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, hopefully it changes at some point.
We'll see how it all works. We'll be back here tomorrow at 8 a.m. for our normal time slot again. Thanks, everybody, for checking in. I will stick to my word on the Saquon Barkley giveaway. We're going to do it. We set the number 125 all-purpose yards. If Saquon eclipses that in a given week, we will give away one Saquon jersey to a member of the channel on Jacob Sports. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give away whatever color jersey they wore that week. So if it's the white, if it's the Kelly green, if it's, you know, Nate, if it's midnight green, we will give away that color jersey.
Kelly green week's going to excite the people.
Yeah, well, he's going to have to get his 125 or else they're going to be shit out of luck, Johnny Mac. All right, John, thanks for the show today, man. Great stuff from you. As always, thanks to our two guests, Mike Gill and Brandon Lee Gowton. Thanks to all of our viewers in the chat. You guys are the best. I appreciate you all very much. Johnny Mac, thank you, sir. I'll see you tomorrow. All right, brother.
All right, thanks, everybody.
See you next time on Birds 365, everybody.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.